Amen. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. I just want to first of all to encourage you to continue to exercise. Right? The Christian life is a matter of exercising our spirit. In fact, without our spirit or without the exercise of our spirit, you could say our Christian life would not be, we will not have a wonderful Christian life. Actually, everything will just remain in our mind and remain in the realm of knowledge, and we will not touch reality. You know, even as a personal testimony, I remember after I got saved, the first prophesying meeting I went to, the brothers, they nudged me to stand up to share something. And my heart just started pounding on me. And I thought I was going to faint. I thought my heart was going to get out of my chest. And then eventually I stood up and said something, and I don't even know what I said. You know, the saints were very grateful and gracious. They said, Amen. And my spirit, although I didn't know what I said, my spirit was strengthened a little bit more. So I really hope through this series of messages in the morning, we will really learn to not only know, but practice to exercise our spirit so that our spirit can be excellent. As some of the brothers already shared, so that when someone contacts you and touches you, they realize what is excellent about you is not just your sharp mind or your physical strong body, but then they will touch your spirit. And in order for this, of course, we need to see that our spirit needs to be strengthened. With any kind of exercise, it doesn't happen overnight, right? It happens over a period of time. But through our continued exercise, continued strengthening of the spirit, then eventually our spirit becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. So this week is an excellent opportunity for us to all exercise our spirit and learn to exercise our spirit, right? And in this morning line, we have already seen that the spirit is ranked with the heavens and the earth. That means the Spirit is so wonderful in God's eyes, right? He not only stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth, but He formed the Spirit of man within Him. And this is what God sees when He sees creation. He sees heaven, He sees earth, He sees man, and He sees man's spirit within Him, right? And then also yesterday we see our spirit is the receptacle. We can receive God with our spirit. We can contain God with our spirit. We can assimilate God in our spirit. Without our spirit, God would not be real to us. How can God be real to us? It's by our spirit. And this morning we come to message number 3. And this message is on being strengthened into our spirit. This shows that our spirit, although we have a spirit, although your spirit has God inside, but our spirit needs to be strengthened and needs to be built up. So at this point, I would like to ask you a question, right? Maybe you can ask your neighbor, what are two of the ways that you yourself exercise the spirit? Ask your neighbor, what are two of the ways? And respond to each other. What are two of the ways that you yourself exercise the spirit? Okay, what did your neighbor say? Calling on the name of the Lord. Okay, very good. What else? Singing. Very good. Praying. Yes. Pray reading. Praise the Lord. I think these are the answers that we would all give in such to answer such a question, right? Because whether you grew up in the church life or you came into the church life, you realize that this is a group of people that likes to call on the name of the Lord. They like to sing and pray read. But this morning, I would like to make a little bit of a turn here. All those things are wonderful, but then we need to see, brothers and sisters, actually the exercise of our spirit depends on the makeup of our spirit. Just like you, when you go physically exercise, right? Yes, you're maybe doing your dumbbells, or maybe you're lifting some weights, or you're running, but what you're exercising are the muscles, and maybe you could say the heart, right? So we need to see, what is our spirit made of? When we see the parts of the spirit and the components of the spirit, then we will know, actually, you know, all those outward things must be connected to the inward exercise of our spirit. Okay? How about let's go to Roman numeral 1 and let's read it all together. The human spirit is composed of three parts: conscience, fellowship, and intuition. So this is crucial, brothers and sisters. The Word of God unveils to us that our spirit is composed of these three parts: conscience, fellowship, and intuition. So in fact, to exercise our spirit is not merely outwardly trying to do something, but it's to exercise these three parts of our spirit. A says, our conscience functions to receive, perceive right from wrong, and regulates us by either condemning or justifying us. Have you ever thought, brothers and sisters, that actually to exercise our spirit is to exercise our conscience? Not only when you are shouting, you know, sometimes when the brothers call up the saints, and they say, exercise your spirit. And their thought is, I need to shout louder. I need to be more animated. I need to raise up my arm, right? All of those are good. We need to exercise our whole being when we exercise our spirit. Every part of our being needs to be involved. But do you also realize, when you come to the Lord in the morning, when you take a walk with the Lord, and the light is there, and the light is shining upon your conscience about something that you said, about something that you saw, about something that you did, and inwardly you have this sense, Lord Jesus, that is the exercise of your spirit as well. In fact, without this inner exercise of our spirit, all the outward things eventually will dry up. You will realize your voice might get louder and louder, but inwardly, if there isn't the exercise of the inner parts of our spirit, that shouting, that exercise eventually will just be empty. You can shout very loud, but inwardly you still feel like, how come the Lord is not real to me when I'm calling on the Lord? But that other brother, that other sister, when they're declaring their calling, there is something flowing within their being. Why is that? That's because we have not touched the inner part of our spirit. So I really hope that in this training, we will not only touch the outward aspect of the spirit, but we will touch the inward aspect of the spirit. And the prominent part of this is our conscience, right? And eventually, in B, it tells us we also have fellowship. What is fellowship? How about let's have the brothers read B. Amen. So we see our fellowship is actually our communion with God. As we exercise our spirit, we're also exercising fellowshipping with God. Not only are you exercising your spirit in the meeting, declaring a verse that you memorized, but when you take a walk with the Lord in the morning, as we've seen this morning, you're conversing with the Lord. You're opening up your heart to the Lord. You're allowing the Lord to speak to you a fresh word. That is exercising your fellowship. And that is also the exercise of our spirit. When we fellowship with the Lord, we realize our spirit is refreshed and strengthened. And then you see, how about the sisters we see? Amen. So praise the Lord. There's also the matter of intuition, which is a direct sense from God. At this point, I'd like to just read you a very short portion, actually, in your ministry excerpt. I'll just read this very quickly. This is a very good portion because it shows us the relationship between our conscience, the fellowship, and the intuition. Because all three are parts of the Spirit. So actually, when we exercise the Spirit, we realize we need to exercise all three parts, right? Toward the bottom, page 20, it says, a transparent conscience will bring us into the presence of the Lord, resulting in a living fellowship with Him. Through this living fellowship, it is easy for our spirit to sense the will of God directly. This is the function of the intuition. As you can see here, the spirit is actually the leading part. I'm sorry, the spirit is our leading part, the leading part of man. But then within the spirit, actually we have a conscience. And this conscience is actually the leading part of our spirit. In order for us to have fellowship with God, we must have a clear conscience. If our conscience is blocked, if our conscience is darkened, if there is no clear channel between us and God in our conscience, then our fellowship surely will be interrupted. And then we will not know what God desires. And we will not have the sense of the direct contact with God. Last night, I'm sure we all very much appreciated that speaking, that the Lord does not want to be imprisoned in our spirit, but He wants to spread into our heart. He wants to make His home in our heart. But do you realize, brothers and sisters, there is a window between your spirit and your heart. Imagine if a room, if you're in a room, there's no window and there's no light. Then you will not see what is on the other side. Right? So how can the Lord make His home in our heart? We have to have a clear window, a clear channel. And this channel is actually our conscience. Our conscience is like a window. When our conscience is clear, and then the Lord will have a way to shine into our heart from our spirit. And this should be our experience, not once in a while, but actually day by day, this should be our experience. We should exercise, right? In Acts 24:16, Paul is an excellent example. Here he said, "Because of this, I also exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man." So this is Paul's exercise. You read the book of Acts and you read Paul's epistles. Sometimes you realize, how can this brother be so bold in preaching the gospel, in testifying for God? It's because his conscience is without offense, is void of offense toward God and toward man, right? And then now let's go to D. D tells us we must deal with our conscience, the leading part of our spirit, to maintain a living fellowship with the Lord and to sense the will of God directly. So what does it mean to deal with our conscience? This might be a new term to you. You might have heard of the conscience. Okay, I need to have a clear conscience, void of offense. But how do I deal with my conscience, right? So the dealing of the conscience, I looked up this word deal. And here are a couple of definitions for deal, right? First, it says to take action with regard to someone or something, to reach or try to reach a state of acceptance or reconcilement. And then the second definition, it says to take measures concerning certain one or something, especially with the intent of putting something right. So to deal with our conscience is actually to make our conscience right. You know, often as we go through our daily living, different things happen to us. And then a conscience, you could say, has offenses that are built up because we did something that either offended God or offended man. Right? And because of this, our conscience has offenses. So for us to deal with our conscience, really is just to take care of the offenses that are in our conscience, that are either caused by sin, right? The actions that we took, or it could be by something related to the world. Some things that we see, something that we watch could also defile our conscience, right? Or even it could be things such as things that the conscience tells us what God justifies and what God condemns. So it's almost like a representative of God, right? So we have this representative within us, and that tells us this thing or that thing pleases God or does not please God. I remember right after I got saved, this was when I was in college. I received the Lord in college. Praise the Lord. You know, I like playing basketball, like many brothers. And I remember right after I got saved, I think it was the next day or sometime within the week's period, I went to play basketball. And then I was in the gym and we're playing 5-on-5. And then I got a fast break all by myself. And I went for a layup. And guess what? I missed. And immediately something came out of my mouth. You know, as an unbeliever, that would have never bothered me. But then right away, within, there is a registration. That what you said right there, right? That is offensive toward God. Wow, I realized, what is this? What is this? I never had this sense before. That was the Lord, right? And then, of course, as I went out in my Christian life, you know, maybe I don't speak those kind of things anymore. But more and more nowadays, I feel like, you know, it's not even just the foul things that sometimes come out of our mouth, but even anything that comes out of our mouth that does not match our inner sense can also offend the Lord. You know, recently I had a couple of brothers over for dinner, and we were just talking and talking, and for some reason, we ended up on the topic of politics. If you're in the U.S., that's a big topic nowadays, right? And we started talking about it. There's just a sense within, after a certain period, point in time, that this is unprofitable. You need to stop talking about this with these brothers. Regardless of whose opinions are right, whose opinions are wrong, this is not something that you should be talking about right now. And by the Lord's mercy, that time when I sensed it, I said, "Amen, Lord." And I just told the brothers, "How about let's talk about something else?" Right? You know, regardless who and who, but let's just talk about something else. And right away within me, the flow came back. So sometimes we do something and our conscience is offended. We need to take care of that. Other times, maybe the conscience is also a warning. Don't do that. A red light comes on, and if we follow the sense, the inner sense within us, within our conscience, then we will have life and peace, and the Lord will have a way to flow within us, right? And I feel in a training like this, often when we come to our training, it's wonderful because we hear the speaking from the Lord. Every single meeting, every single message, when we touch or exercise our spirit, the Lord is speaking to us. And when the Lord speaks to us, the light is shining upon us. And when the Lord shines, He might touch certain things within our being. Even sometimes we may feel condemned, right? How do we deal with that? We need to learn. Whenever the Lord shines in our being, we just need to agree and say, "Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord." Because when the light shines, we saw in the first day, the Lord has the strongest personality. When the light shines, we don't need to argue with the Lord. Even this week, I feel I received a lot of shining from the Lord. And I was listening to some of the messages. Then the next morning, I was spending time with the Lord. You know, things just came up in my being. And even things that I didn't think was a big deal. But the Lord started to touch these things. And when the light shines, even sometimes I would like to justify a little bit. But then eventually I realized, "Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord. I just want to say amen to you." Right? And right away, as I say amen, as I confess these matters to the Lord, learn to apply the blood. I just told the Lord simply, "Lord, cleanse me with your precious blood. Lord, wash me with your precious blood." And as the Lord cleanses and washes, then there's the fellowship, right? Immediately, there is just a sense that I'm no longer separate from God, but I'm one with God. In my experience, right? In reality, we're one with God, but in our experience, there might be some insulation. So there is no flow. And then as soon as I confessed, the flow came back. Oh, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Our God is real. You know, animals will never feel bad about eating someone else's sandwich. But you know what? When you do it, deep within, "Oh, Lord Jesus," right? Praise the Lord. We need to be those who have a clear conscience before God, right? And then when we take care of the offenses in our conscience, the other thing I want to mention quickly is that we really need to learn to apply the blood. This matter of the blood is crucial. Because when we confess our sins, and sometimes the Lord shines on us, we confess and we clear it up between us and God, the enemy is always there as well, always trying to come in and do something extra. Right? When we apply the blood, sometimes we might feel, maybe that confession wasn't that genuine. Maybe I need to do something more. Maybe I need to confess again. You know, brothers and sisters, that's a lie from the enemy. When we apply the blood, when we confess our sins, the Bible says clearly that His blood washes us. Right? His blood washes us to the point that it is as if you have never sinned in God's eyes. So we need to have faith in the blood. We don't have faith in anything what we can do, but then we have faith in the blood. And of course, as Paul said in Acts, he said, to exercise, to have a conscience without offense, void of offense before God and before men. Which means there are times the Lord might touch us concerning certain things we said to another brother, or certain things we said to another sister, or certain things we did to other people. Then we need to go also to ask for forgiveness. You know, in the church life, all of us contact many people. I serve on a team with 6 or 7 other brothers and sisters. And a lot of the times, unintentionally, even through our speaking, we could offend one another. Maybe you're living in the brother's house, you're living in the sister's house. Unintentionally, you didn't wake up in the morning and say, "I'm going to offend Robert today." right? I just don't like him. I'm going to offend him. No, I don't do that. But somehow, in the course of that day, just because of the things that we did, right? We didn't follow the sense in our spirit. We offend people. You know, more recently, actually all the time, I realize this is my situation. So often, not only do I need to clear it up before God and me, but I also need to go to that brother and sister and say, brother, I'm sorry that I said that. Or brother, I'm sorry I said it in that way. Brother, my attitude was just not proper. And immediately, you know, by the Lord's mercy and grace, they're all very forgiving. And they say, they tell me I'm forgiven. And then the fellowship is again restored between me and them and also between me and the Lord. So how about let's read under D. Let's read D and then let's read 1 and 2 under D. To maintain a living fellowship with the Lord and to sense the will of God directly. Our conscience can only be made right by confessing our faults, failures, and sins to the Lord and applying the sprinkling and cleansing of the Lord's blood. When our conscience is cleansed, we will have a good conscience, a conscience void of offense, resulting in transparent and uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord. Maybe I'll just end with this point. You know, after we confess our sins, the result of our confessing our sins and having a conscience void of offense is that we have the boldness. In 1 John 3:20, it says, if our heart blames us, it is because God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not blame us, we have boldness toward God. Right? Once we clear our conscience, then we have boldness toward God. And then also in Hebrews chapter 10, it also tells us that we have boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies, to have fellowship with God once our evil conscience has been sprinkled. So praise the Lord. I hope, brothers and sisters, even in our times with the Lord in the morning, this will be an element of our personal fellowship with the Lord. This is not something that you can tell other people. This is not something that you can speak to others. But between you and the Lord, establish this time a fellowship with the component and aspect of confessing. Just like many times in a day, we wash our hands, right? Hopefully before the meal times, you wash your hands. So if we want to enjoy the Lord as our feast, we need to make sure we get washed. But also in a time like this, in a conference or in a training, you have a little bit more time in the morning, in the afternoon, spend a longer time just to clear up things before the Lord. And then the Lord will be able to shine upon you more and more, right? Hopefully this could be a little bit of a help for us. And we really hope that in this training, and not only in this training, but after this training, we will continue to practice exercising our spirit by exercising our conscience, our fellowship, and our intuition.
That's a helpful word, huh? Amen. Well, we can't have Roman numeral 2 without Roman numeral 1. If we are not clear in our conscience, then we cannot go on to be strengthened into our spirit. How about, what if we just stand up and call on the Lord 2 times, okay? Oh, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Good. Right, get those juices flowing. So, brothers and sisters, do you remember the verse in Ephesians 1 that mentions our spirit, our human spirit? What is it? Ephesians 1:17, right? That He would give to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay. Now, what is the verse in Ephesians chapter 2? Which mentions our spirit? 2:22. Is that one of your verses? Oh, it's not. Okay, sorry. So Ephesians 2:22, which we covered yesterday morning, which talks about being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit. So this morning we're going to cover the third verse from Ephesians 3, on our spirit. There's actually one other verse earlier in Ephesians 3, but we will cover this verse. And it's in Ephesians 3:16, it doesn't use the lowercase s spirit, but it does say that you would be strengthened with power through His Spirit. What? That's right, into the inner man, the inner man. So Roman numeral 2 says, we need to be strengthened into our spirit, our inner man, in order to experience Christ for the church, the body of Christ. Now, how about we have brothers on A? Read it with an exercise spirit. And then sisters B. Amen. And together on one. We need to be strengthened with power through His Spirit. The more we are strengthened, the more the parts of our inner being are brought back into the Spirit. I don't think we need to do any convincing that our outer man, which is our soul with the body, is much stronger than our inner man, which is our spirit taking the lead with the soul underneath it, and then carry it out through the body. We all admit that we're short in the area of the strength of our inner man. So that's why we need to be strengthened. Okay, now, the wording in Ephesians 3:16 is very particular. It doesn't say, Paul didn't pray that God would give us strength and power. Right? Neither did he just say, Father, strengthen me into the inner man. Although that's very close. What did he actually pray according to the verse that we have in the recovery version? He asked to be strengthened into the inner man. What's the difference between asking the Lord to strengthen us and asking the Lord to grant us to be strengthened? What's the difference? Well, if I was just going to pray, Father, grant me strength or strengthen me, then that means I'm completely looking to Him to do all of the strengthening. But if I say, Father, grant me to be strengthened, that actually indicates an element of our cooperation in that strengthening. Yes, He is strengthening, but yes, I have a responsibility to be strengthened. So this is what we want to cover this morning, is our cooperation and our responsibility in being strengthened. It's not all on the Lord. There's our responsibility. Okay. So, let's go on in the outline. So now we want to see what do we need to do? How can we be strengthened? And so let me read to you point two. It says, the secret of the operation of this power and the strengthening of our spirit is that we need to be what? We need to be what? We need to be desperate, not indifferent. 3 says, on the one hand, it is the Spirit. It is through the Spirit that our spirit is strengthened. Yes. Grant us to be strengthened right through His Spirit into the inner man. On the other hand, and this is what we want to emphasize this morning, on the other hand, we need to cooperate with the Spirit by exercising our spirit. Underline, circle, yeah, that word, cooperate. Now, I want to look at these verses, 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. If you have your Bible, you can turn to it. Excellent verses. The last part of verse 7 says, exercise yourself unto godliness. Can I get an amen? Amen. Exercise yourself unto godliness. Amen. Then verse 8, for bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the present life and of that which is to come. Now this word, exercise, is the Greek word gymnasio, from which we get our English word gymnasium. And what is a gymnasium? A gymnasium is a place where you exercise, right? We are actually literally in a gymnasium here. And but, you know, all our Christian life is actually a life in a gymnasium. All right? We are in the heavenly gymnasium. And what are we building up? Obviously, we're not here just to build up our bodies. Not just to build up our soul, but to exercise our spirit. If you look at 3a, this is a really strong point. Roman numeral 2b 3a. Okay, it says, in order for our spirit to be strong, it must be exercised, which is a matter of habit and of forcing ourselves. All right? Does anybody like to hear forcing ourselves? We don't. But that's what exercise is. Even physical exercise, if you don't force yourself to do it, you're not going to do it. Very few mornings do you feel like getting up and working out. But something is there motivating you to get up, get there, do the workout, and you feel much better after you do it. But most of the time, you don't feel like doing it. So there's a need of forcing. And it's the same spiritually. It is the same spiritually as it is even. And that's what Paul is saying here in these verses. He said, bodily exercise is profitable for a little. There's this phrase, right? It says, no pain, no gain. And but when it comes to the Lord, we think, oh, it's just all... should all be nice. Just whenever the Lord really inspires me, I will exercise my spirit. When I'm happy and joyful, then I will say something. But this is really against this principle, which we see here in 1 Timothy 4. The principle of exercise, which is a matter of habit and of forcing. One of my favorite footnotes in the Recovery Version is in Hebrews 12:22, where it has a short phrase, the universal gathering. And if you look at that footnote, it says basically that the universe is like a festal gathering. It's like a stadium, basically. And the angels are like the spectators. They're all gathered. We can't see them, but they are watching us. And we, the believers, are the... we're the players. We're not spectators. We're actually in the game. And in the footnote at the end, it mentions that this game of the new covenant is the greatest and most exciting game in the universe. And that's actually a direct quote from that footnote. But my point is, and that phrase, universal gathering, it actually refers to, in part, to the Olympic gatherings that they would have at that time. And the Olympics is, you know, that's the top, those are the top athletes in the world. Just before this meeting, I was looking at some of the regimens that those athletes go through, and just reading one blog of a swimmer, what was going through her mind as she goes through her daily schedule, wake up at 5:30, you know, do her weight workout in the morning, jump in the icy cold pool to swim X number of laps and all kinds of things, you know, diet, exercise, just throughout the day. A lot of what was going through her mind was, man, why am I doing this? I feel like giving up. I feel like quitting. Why am I so crazy to keep pushing myself like this? But then when you run a race or you finish a race, you just feel so accomplished. And our goal is it's God's economy. It's the body of Christ. There's no higher goal. The Olympic athletes are striving for a gold medal or to medal on the podium. But our goal is to bring the Lord back. It's to consummate this age. And a much higher goal, if the Olympic athletes are that exercise for a little piece of metal, how much more exercise should we be in our spirit related to the things of the Lord? Related to the things of the Lord. So what does this look like? Now, that's not to say that our Christian life is only a matter of forcing ourselves, no fun, no joy. That's not what I'm saying. Even physically, again, you force yourself, but there is a degree of fulfillment and joy. Much more so with the spiritual realm. And I was thinking, right before the college training, really busy, just like running around like crazy, doing all kinds of things, staying up late and finishing things. And my wife was very busy too. And it was late one night, and she asked me to take care of the laundry. And I was like, I am madly preparing for the college training, and I didn't say anything outwardly, but definitely did not have a good attitude toward that request. And so, well, what should I do? Well, I started thinking to myself, well, you know, how many chores have you really done this last week? Your wife's been doing a lot. We had some hospitality. She's tired, and so it does make sense that she's asking you to do something to help out, even though you are really busy. That worked for like 2 minutes, and then it's kind of like these flies that are buzzing around in here. It just keeps coming back. So then I made a choice. I exercised my spirit. I just turned to the Lord. I said, Lord Jesus, Lord, I need you. And then actually, the Lord reminded me of a brother in a very serious situation. And I just began to pray for this brother. And after I prayed for this brother, it was no problem doing the laundry. It wasn't a problem. There was some joy. Even in doing it wasn't just me forcing myself in bitterness with resentment to take care of the laundry. But no, it was forcing myself to turn to my spirit and enjoy the Lord. And then it's no problem to do the laundry. It's no problem. So there is a matter of forcing. But there's also the matter of joy. It was much more pleasant by forcing myself to turn to the spirit. I think all of us can identify with a little bit of forcing in the meetings. Do you think I like to be up here speaking to all of you? By nature, I do not like this. I do not like this. When I was in high school, in English class, I refused to participate in any oral discussions unless forced to do so. But we're going to get to this. In fact, let's turn to this next verse, which is 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. Actually, just verse 7. Let me read this to you. For God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power, and of love, and sober-mindedness. God has given us a spirit of what?
Power.
A spirit of what?
Power.
A spirit of power. By nature, we come from all different kinds of dispositions. Some are more timid, some are more bold. But one thing we all have, all of us, we all have a spirit of power. If you want to be a great athlete, it really helps if you have parents who are great athletes because you got their genes. If you want to be a great musician, if both of your parents were great musicians, chances are you have that ability as well. But that ability in and of itself is not enough. If you don't practice playing the piano or playing the violin, then it doesn't matter how great an ability that you've inherited from your parents, you're not going to be good. Well, we've received the greatest gene pool in the universe, which is the genes of the triune God. He gave us a spirit of power. But now, we need to use it. We need to practice. We need some training. Right? Didn't you? I really appreciated, I can't remember what night it was, when, I think it was yesterday morning. Yeah, it was yesterday morning when the brothers just called up the second row to come up and speak at their microphones. You remember that? And I thought those brothers and sisters did a great job. They did a very good job. But in that case, it was Brother Lampstand and Brother Enosh forcing them, helping them to exercise their spirit. And they did a wonderful job. But in 1 Timothy 4, it doesn't say, serving ones, force your students to exercise their spirit, right? It says, exercise yourself. Exercise yourself unto godliness. So we have the spirit of power. We have it. But we need to push. It's okay to push a little bit. In fact, if we don't feel a little bit pushed, that probably means we're not making progress. It's the same physically, right? You could do some exercise, and once you start feeling a little pain, you just back off. That means you're going nowhere. If you want to make progress, you've got to feel some pain. Well, spiritually speaking, we do need to push ourselves. All right, let's look at the next remaining points in this outline. Point B says we need to open up our mouth, our heart, and our spirit in order to fan our spirit into flame. So these three verses are really helpful. Ephesians 3:16, it says, be strengthened. In 1 Timothy 4:7, it says, exercise yourself. And in 2 Timothy 1, in verse 6, it says, what does it say about your spirit of power? What should you do with it? Fan into flame. Fan into flame. So be strengthened. Exercise yourself. And fan into flame. The flame is there. But we just have to fan it. If we don't fan it, it's not going to grow. So, point C says, having a strong will, a loving emotion, and a sober mind has much to do with having a strong spirit. Point D, let's read this together. We should exercise our spirit by confessing our sins in the meetings. Amen. We've talked about that. You know, going back to what Ken had said, there's that verse in Acts, I believe, which says that we need to... Paul said, I always exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense before God and men. With calling on the Lord, praying, singing, prayer reading, those are all things that you can do publicly and should do publicly and should do corporately. But with confessing, the tricky thing is, I can't monitor you. I can't be there while you confess. I can't oversee your personal time with the Lord to make sure that you confess your sins. No, nobody's watching that except you and the Lord. And perhaps this is why confessing is the most underutilized way of exercising our spirit. Because nobody can do it for you. You can't do it corporately. It's just you and the Lord. But this is, the conscience is the leading part of our spirit. We need to use it. We need to use it. We should exercise our spirit by confessing our sins. by praying, and by functioning in the meetings. Now, point C, let's read this all together. The ultimate result of our being strengthened into our inner man is our being filled unto all the fullness of God, which is the body of Christ, the church, the issue of our enjoyment of the riches of Christ. Brother Craig shared, you know, when we see God's economy to head up all things in Christ, it will make us what? Intense, right? God is intense. When we see it, we will become intense. How do we direct this intensity? The intensity is in exercising our spirit. That will motivate us. If we really see God's economy, we will be, just like those Olympic athletes, are highly motivated to do whatever they can to get on that medal podium. If we see God's economy, we will be highly motivated to deny ourselves and to be strengthened into our inner man. I just want to leave you with two last things, and then we'll have some further direction. So what should we do? What is the practical way to be strengthened, to fan into flame, and to exercise ourselves unto godliness? Two things, all right? The first thing I would say is two P's. The first one is pray. That's what the Apostle Paul did in Ephesians 3. He prayed to be strengthened into the inner man. So we need to pray for this. Because there is the side of God's dispensing and His imparting strength into us. So we need to ask for it. But then, on the other side, we need to be balanced. And the other P word is practice. So we need to pray, and then we need to practice. Just do it. This is not a place where we expect no mistakes to be made. Perfection is not at all a requirement. The only requirement is practice. Just practice. It's okay to make mistakes, but we have to practice, otherwise we're going nowhere. And that's in 1 Timothy 4:15, it says, practice these things, that your progress may be manifest to all. So I hope when I see you all next college training or next time, you are more spiritually buff than you were here. Because why? Because of practice. You've been exercising your spirit. You can't expect to, you know, be Brother Mark or Brother Craig tomorrow, but we can little by little build up a habit of exercising our spirit so that God can fulfill His economy. Amen. Okay, so should we have a little time? Okay, what we want to do now is just take the opportunity. It's 10:15. What if we take 10? What if we take 10 minutes just to have some personal time with the Lord and open to the Lord to deal with anything that the Lord may touch us with related to our conscience, just to confess to the Lord. So let's stay, right? We don't have to stay in our seats, but let's stay within earshot of this gymnasium. And after 10 minutes, we will play a few guitar strums so you know your time is up. Don't worry about the time. Just use the time to really contact the Lord, open to the Lord. Yeah.
In His light, He will reveal to you what you need to confess. This is not a time to be introspective, to look within you. And also, I believe we've all heard a lot already, and the Lord has already shined into our being. Whatever He shines on, that's the matter that you need to deal with and that you need to confess. Okay, how about let's go right now.